All right, you want to do the intro?
Yeah, I'm down. All right, welcome back to Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast where you could dance with me, baby. Don't make me beg. Get out your chair. Come do the stanky leg. I'm Phil, the guest, and with you as always, Adrian and Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Was that too offensive? Was the Peter Shrinklage coming out the bathroom saying that because that's how he did that too offensive?
I think we're good to just start here.
Okay. And let's do big old
woke
clap.
Woke Adrian won't let us do our best bits.
I'm editing this first half. I want to make sure when I get hired for SNL, I can stay on the cast.
All right. For those of y'all who don't know, this is Phil Carter, founding member of the Buster Cups.
Founding member of Battle Extraordinaire.
And Columbia, South Carolina comedian.
Soda City based,
baby. It's good to be back. Love the pod. Love the listeners. What would y'all have a fan base name? Like how Justin Bieber has like Beliebers?
Yeah, Big Fat Greeks, No Cap Chaps.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's good to be back for y'all, man. Good to be back. But yeah, we saw Nate Bargatze tonight at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte. He was hilarious, and he had three openers and a host, which was a lot for a lineup, I believe.
Did you guys go to a fucking open mic night?
I'm about to say, yeah.
A lot of jokes about how stupid he is and how much his wife is a bitch, you know?
Yeah.
For a modern comedian. I didn't expect so much of the set to be about his bitch wife.
Yeah.
He was doing like a... Who was it? Raymond that you saw live that did that? Everybody loves Raymond?
Yeah.
Oh, he did that? He talked about like his wife a lot?
No, I said I was surprised how much he talked about sex jokes. And the sex jokes were with his wife.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought he was going to be like Raymond. I thought he was going to be family friendly.
Yeah, and even that show is not too family friendly. Like, if you watch the whole thing, it's not that family friendly. There's a lot of
Deborah.
Like stuff about sex.
Yeah.
Deborah.
The episode where he wants to do Adol and Deborah's like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. And he's like, no, but with me.
And then the mom comes to Deborah and she's like, you won't do Adol with my son?
Yes. And then the twins come in like, you won't do Adol with my papa?
And then the grandpa comes in and he's like... Yeah, I've been doing anal since we first got married.
And then Robert comes in like, everybody does anal with Raymond. but yeah, Nate Bargatze. Actually, Paul pointed out the fact that I never really noticed this, but it makes sense how Nate Bargatze, he's family friendly. Like, he didn't talk about anything raunchy, and I don't think he cussed at all tonight either.
Yeah, no, it was a very I was like, is that why he's big?
Yeah, and like, and I was telling Paul this earlier. I think I told you this, Adrian, that like Christian explained to me that Nate Bargatze got so big because he was the first one to drop a special during the quarantine on Netflix, and it was all outside.
I remember telling me that, yeah.
And then plus, he is a clean comedian, so I could see why he's so popular in that aspect too. I mean, that's just a win-win situation.
And he is funny. I do like Nate. Yeah,
yeah. So. It was a really good set. His opener.
Yeah, the way that I used to describe him is that he would come on my Pandora shuffle station of comedians back in the day when I would do that.
I think he could really take the Jim Gaffigan lane because I think Jim Gaffigan is funny too, but he really has like a everybody likes him family friendly lane. So yeah. I could see Nate Bargatze being that comedian in like 10 years, like just massively famous. You know, he's basically funny and talented, but also just like anybody who wants to listen to clean comedy can listen to him too.
Right.
I think
right,
before
yeah.
Jim Gaffigan, it was Brian Regan. That guy was a... Yeah.
Dude, I know so many people where Brian Regan is their favorite comedian. Like, they up him so... Like, Caleb Sinan, who came to Columbia, he was like, Brian Regan is my favorite comedian, like, ever. And I was like, wow. I didn't know he has...
That sounds like... Yeah, it sounds like their parents only let them listen to family-friendly comedy.
But yeah, good show. Thank you again, Paul,
for
getting me tickets. That was really fun.
What about Pim's Mechanical? How old is Charlotte doing?
Oh, wait, where did we... We didn't go to... We went to Penthouse?
Yeah, Penthouse.
Penthouse.
Which Phil immediately had a flashback when I took him there to do 8-pin bowling. He was like, I performed here before.
It was not a good show. It was not a good...
Ooh.
I think I told you that, Adrian, right? That we did that bowling alley show and it was not good?
I think you told me that, yeah. I mean, I heard about it for sure, probably.
But yeah, Nate was fantastic, and then bowling was fun. Love coming to Charlotte, love hanging out with Paul. Thanks for having me, Beckham.
No cap.
I think this is as good a time as any to apologize to the Latin people. And when I say the Latin people, I mean one Latin person. When I say one Latin person, I mean Adrian's mom. I'm sorry.
Oh, moment of silence.
Damn. I'm sorry. Moment of silence. Let's get Adrian real. And Phil bullied me into making fun of your accent, even though I didn't want to.
No, no. Hold on, hold on. My mom's a very busy lady. I think she listens to this at work. Mom, if stop cutting vegetables, take a second and really listen to this part of the podcast, because Paul's got something to say.
I apologize for making fun of your accent, Miss Perez.
Do you have a written apology? Are you looking at your notes out?
Why do you have a Donald Trump apology pulled up on Word right now?
Stop it right now, y'all. This is serious. Crumples up piece of paper. I'm going to speak from the heart.
Why do you have in parentheses do Latina voice? And why'd you scratch that out just now? Oh, are you writing it down as you go so you don't forget?
No, I'm just crumpling up the apology I wrote down.
Oh, there it goes.
Oh, because this is coming from the heart.
Here, I'll take it for you. I'll throw it away for you. I definitely won't read it myself.
Where did you get the paper? Was it Publix?
Miss Perez, I respect the Latino people, and especially strong Latina women.
Latino women? Okay. Go on.
And Latinx people.
Okay.
And the only reason I did it was because Adrian was a bad influence on me and he made fun of you first. And I'm sorry. I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for Adrian. I'm sorry.
Did he edit that part out?
Okay. And I just want to take a second to apologize to no one because I've never done anything wrong. I don't have to apologize to Paul's mom because I'm very kind to her.
For making fun of his accent. I'm not sure if y'all edited that out in the last episodes, but I went in on Papa Perez. I'm sorry about that. I'm really sorry.
Also, can we get Adrian to apologize for my mom for not becoming a doctor? She was really disappointed at that.
That's the worst thing I've done to your mom is I didn't become a doctor.
I think my mom has talked about that more than your mom has talked about me making fun of her accent. My mom's like,
yeah, we've talked about that on pod before.
That's funny.
Honestly, your mom's not wrong. I should have.
My mom's like, what's he was that? So smart. He could have done that. Why'd he go do whatever he's
stupid
doing?
Behavioral ecology. What's that one LP line? Mom said I should have been a dentist. Something like that.
Yeah.
I should have just been a dentist. All right. Well, now that we're done with that, can I talk about some of my stuff that I've been doing?
Yeah. What's up? What you been up to today?
I'm going to go rapid fire, baby. Poor Things. Watched it. It was great. You should watch it. And then Phil called me yesterday while I made a last second decision to spend my day watching the roast of Donald Trump from 2011. Oh, yes. Dude, that is a bizarre watch now. Seth MacFarlane's the roast master. Like, it was so inconsequential and so weird, the people that they picked. It was funny, but man, no one actually really cared about Donald Trump all that much. I think that might have been the thing that would maybe make him the most sad, is that like people just didn't actually care that much about him. The best roasts were on other people. Let's see, new Bruiser Wolf album's pretty good. Milan won the game today. That was cool. And then the other things I'll bring on in other episodes. So that's it for me for topical things. You guys have anything?
Okay, media roundup. As Adrian knows, I kind of like to go back in time and watch movies and shows that came out a while ago that I just missed out on. And there's like a few movies that I missed out on were Hobbs and Shaw, part of the Fast and Furious franchise. Actually, a really funny movie, really good movie.
Isn't
I love
it
Jason
Fast
State.
And Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw?
Yeah, so I guess it's not really part of the franchise. It's just made by the same people,
I
guess.
I've seen that one, and I'm not going to lie to you. I disagree. I thought it
you
was
didn't like
so
it?
Bad.
I will say this. I will say that like there was a lot of unnecessary characters and scenes in that movie. One of them was Kevin Hart, and I usually like Kevin Hart in movies, but that he was not funny in it. He added nothing to the movie, really.
No cap.
Oh, but do notice the runner-ups, Best of Columbia, Buster Cups framed
nice.
Photo in the back.
I don't know where to hang mine up yet right now. Mine's just in the guest room. I really don't know what to do with it, but...
Well, you have so many awards. How do you even have room?
I really do. It's crazy. It's crazy.
You get a raise? How are you affording the spot without Christian, or are you looking for another roommate?
I did get a raise. I offered the room to a friend, and they haven't let me know yet. But, I mean, even if they don't take it, I could still afford it by myself. It's just, I guess it's a little bit financially straining, but it's not too bad. So the raise definitely helped me a lot. But yeah. And then,
there you guys go. CEO Phil.
See, undercover boss, baby. That's what I call myself.
Hey, Big Phil.
When I got the raise and like the promotion, they usually send out like an email to like the department, just letting like everybody know, like, hey, these are the new positions these people are in now, in case you need to contact somebody. And they're like, can you do a write-up? And every time they ask me for a write-up for any promotion, I always say I'm the undercover boss. They always put it in. It's a really good write-up. It's funny.
They're like, can you do a write-up? And you're like, yeah, my pen game crazy.
Ooh.
And I'm like,
you just send back the gif of, is it Gunna who has the music video where it's him penning something with fire coming out of the, out of the pen?
And that's the picture I send them to. It's just my pen is on fire in the office. I was going to say the second movie I was going to bring in was Spy, which was another older Jason Statham movie. Not too old. It's like 4 years ago. Melissa McCarthy's in it, who is one of my favorite actresses. I think she is always ahead of her time. She is really funny in it. Jason Statham is...
And not just because of the time zone.
Hey, not just the good... but yeah, really funny movie. I didn't expect it to be that funny. I was like, this is just one of those big blockbuster movies that I'm sure is just decent. But no, it was really solid.
Is this like one of those movies where like... Melissa McCarthy is like a very established, really serious spy, and Jason Statham's like a kind of a goofy, like idiot who doesn't know what he's doing, or like
Jason does play that role. Melissa is goofy because Melissa just plays like a desk up, like a phone operator, and she like helps the spies. And then she was like, "Let me get in the field because I'm trained." And then she's like super good at like combat and stuff. So it's pretty funny. Yeah, it's a good lot of twisties and turvies in that movie for sure. And then
I made that joke because I was 100% convinced the joke was fat lady stupid was gonna be the whole movie.
No, she's funny in it, but like, yeah, she's like a good spy in it. And Jason Statham is just so bad at what he does, and that's what makes it like really funny. And I guess the only other, or I have two other media roundups real quick. A TV show that I went back and I watched because I watched his other two ones was Danny McBride's Eastbound and Down. I just finished the second to last season, which was filmed all in Myrtle Beach. And everybody says that's the best season, and so far it is the best season for me. A lot of good, heaters in that season for sure. And then, as far as music goes, I only have one, and that's 21 Savage's new album came out yesterday, which I've listened to already like 3 times. It's front to back, no misses. I don't think 21 Savage needed Drake for people. Oh, I think maybe
21 Savage was already massive. Come on, don't do
He was massive, but I don't think people really paid him attention. A lot of people did not pay attention to him until he did the collab album with Drake, which sucks, but it did work. And he waited like over a year to drop this album, which was a smart move. Like, he didn't drop it just right off the buzz from the Drake album, which I think was smart.
Just drop it.
And yeah, he fucking killed it, dude. It was like front to back, 15 tracks. All fire. If you listen to it, if you just want to listen to one song, listen to Red Rum. That one's a heater.
Personally, I prefer American rappers, but...
Actually, the album is called American Dream, so you might... He's from the UK.
Also, you're not gonna talk about Tizo Touchdown?
Oh, yeah. And I did start listening to Tizo, because I like Tizo Touchdown's voice a lot. I think he's an amazing singer. And then me and Paul watched his Cave episode, along with some other stuff. And
oh, my God, dude. That shit rocks, dude.
The Cave!
Like, he's so talented.
He was so talented.
The song they made together rocked. What a weird fucking person.
Weirdo.
You guys didn't watch the Flo Milli episode that just came out, though?
I haven't seen that. I want to watch it, though. I love Flo Milli.
He literally uses the sample of Shooting Stars, and he's like, bang, 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 bang. He's like,
really?
It's fucking hard. Yeah.
Damn. I gotta watch that.
That's that Flo Milli shit.
Yeah, Tizo. Okay, but it was a good bit that every couple minutes you heard a clang on the floor, and it was one of the nails in his hair falling out of his hair.
I remember that.
And my favorite part was when Kenny was like, "I'm gonna put the nail in my hat," from one of the nails on the ground, and Tizo was like, "Put it in the brim," and he tried to put it in the brim, and Tizo was like, "Oh damn, I didn't bring my hammer this time," and we just busted out laughing. Like, bring your hammer to studio sessions.
I didn't bring my hammer this time because that is something I usually bring with me, like, it's surprising.
Oh yeah, stop, hammer time. The reason I have such a clear memory of that one is that I watched it while I was tagging bees at work, and I had to turn down my computer because I was like, this is really weird. I don't think people in the next room need to hear me listening to whatever's going on in this video.
There was another part of the part when he starts singing the actual verse for Kenny, where he mentions, went to the airport today, took all the nails out my hair. And I'm like, wait, he knew he was going to have to put them back in for the interview with Kenny. But he still put them on in the morning. He put all the nails in his hair just to go to TSA and be like, okay, I got to take these all out.
You think he would have done pre-check?
Fly out to California and then put them back in. Like, He's that dedicated to it that he was like, I'm going to put him in first thing in the morning, even though I know I got to take him out in an hour at the airport.
And when Kenny asked him, like, what was the worst tragedy that happened with one of your nails? And he was like, drop one in the toilet. That was like his worst tragedy. He was like, you can't flush a nail. He was like, you got to get it out. And then they just cut to the next scene. It's like, obviously he put his hand in a bowl full of shit. And then they just cut that out.
Obviously not an informed opinion, but Rock Paper Stripper is my favorite Tizo touchdown song for the audience.
Yeah. I know y'all don't fuck with Drake, but Tizo touchdown was the best part of Drake's new album.
Like, I heard that
his singing is amazing, bro. Like, he's a really good singer, but his songs are also really good, but his voice is just beautiful.
Weird fucking dude. A 30-year-old should not have a song about his dad.
He's 31 years old.
It's about his dad banging down his door to tell him that he needs to get a job. You're 30, man.
Yeah.
Is he like a jit ass type dude?
What do you mean?
When JID first came out for XXL, I thought he was like 21, and he was like already 29 at that point.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, Jid got old. Like, Jid,
Jid
no,
never
Jid
rapped
old.
About
Jid
being
was
an
old
edgy
when
kid.
He got.
That's
what is
the
Off
difference.
The Zoinkies about?
Yeah.
What's young DiCaprio about? You ain't young DiCaprio. You old DiCaprio.
Mm. Yeah. Never did shit, never did shit, never did shit, never did shit because I'm 29 years old.
I was just down, down bad.
All right, cool. Anything else, boys? You want to get into the theme? Paul, you got anything you've been doing?
Adrian, are you going to answer the allegations?
About what?
Went to your hood. They said they don't even know you.
Ooh.
Oh, that's because they don't recognize me anymore.
Went to your block. They said they'd never heard of you.
My block is my family's house and one Brazilian guy who moved there 2 years ago.
Yeah, they said they'd never heard of you.
I'm not surprised.
Probably because we referred to you as Morty Flapjacks. They're like, we don't.
That's
know
probably
Morty.
True. I don't even
They're
go
like,
by that
can you
anymore.
Please stop making fun of my wife's accent on your podcast. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, they knew Paul. They knew Paul so well.
I wasn't gonna bring this in, but it seems like a good time to bring it in. Anyways, I uploaded some tracks to SoundCloud, and man, talk about an argument you can't win. They tried to claim that I was using a sample that I didn't have the rights for. And I listened to the song and I was like, it's absolutely not in there. But then the question they make you fill out is like a whole legally binding thing about like, I created all of this. It's all my own work. And I was like, I did sample the drums, but not from the song that you're trying to get me on or whatever. And I was like, you know what? I give up. You can have the song.
Oh, wow.
Whatever.
When did that happen?
Yeah. It felt way too formal. I got an email this morning because I uploaded it last night and they're like, we think this contains a copyrighted sample from this song. Let us know if you want to dispute the claim. And I was like, this seems over my head. I don't want to deal with this. You already have the beat, so you don't have to worry about it. But if Patrick wants it, I'll have to email it to him directly.
All right, word. Damn, that's crazy. I didn't know SoundCloud was even that advanced. Every time I go in there to listen to some songs that are only on SoundCloud, I'm like, y'all even update this shit anymore? Like, it looks so outdated.
Yeah.
But damn.
Yeah, they really don't try at all. I don't know if that's part of the aesthetic.
Yeah.
They did do the thing where they switched from orange to black like 3 years ago, but.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I was
well,
like, good
orange
for them.
Is the new black.
Hey, come on now.
I'm sorry.
Is
cut
that your
that
media
out
roundup?
And then kill me.
Yeah, that's my media roundup. That's it for me. Paul, did you have one?
Yeah.
Orange is the new black.
Let me check my Spotify. Maybe I've listened to some good music.
Okay.
Gay porn. Interesting. That's what you have written there.
Oh, yeah. Gay porn. Have y'all seen this?
No. On his phone, this? It says fake apology to Adrian's mom.
It says real heartfelt apology.
It's just the notes app up. Real quick before we get into the theme. Speaking of insane, did y'all listen to Kid Cudi's new album, Insano?
Didn't it come out last night?
It came out yesterday, yeah. It came out, well, I guess yesterday.
I've never...
12, I have time to listen to an album in one day?
I listened to 21 Savages 3 times. I don't know. I love music, but...
I've never listened to a full Kid Cudi project ever.
I listened to Man on the Moon, actually, a few times. But...
Never.
Yeah, I didn't have any desire, and I was like, I feel like I kind of want to give this a listen, but at the same time, it's like, I didn't like his last stuff. I don't think I'm going to like this.
I'm on the pursuit of happiness, and I know.
Yeah, I guess the theme. I guess we got to stop dancing around the topic. You know what I mean?
Hey, come on, Al.
Dancing. Y'all dance? I don't know if I've ever seen... I've seen Adrian dance, because we always do this little move to rap songs.
Hey.
So I've seen you do this, but I've never been to a wedding with either of y'all, so... I don't know.
Wedding dancing
the one
is
place
much
where it
less
happens.
Likely.
That is true. I dance the most at weddings.
I don't get drunk enough at weddings to dance. I need to get really wasted.
That's probably a smart idea.
I specifically get very drunk if there's an open bar and I could dance. But I love dancing at weddings.
I've been to 2 weddings.
Did you dance to either of them?
Yeah. Okay, so one of them was my neighbors, and I danced a little bit, but not that much. Mostly with my little cousin, who was like 5 years old, so it's kind of like little, like, she's on your feet, and you're kind of just doing like a date.
Bam, oh, bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam. Oh, that's so cute.
And then the other one was my brother's wedding in New York, and it was in a, like, era where I remember I was underage, but my parents would let me drink at home. And so there was, like a bouncer at the door who would always side-eye me, because before I would go dance, I would take, like, really big gulps of my parents' drinks to be like, I need to loosen up a little bit. And he would always just look at me like, what is this kid doing? And then I'd do that and then go in there. And I remember it had a very good sense of time and place to it, because Dorley got really excited when Gangnam Style came on from the DJ, because it was right when that song was getting big.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember dancing to that with my brother and sister.
Remember when all the teachers at our high school did a performance of Gangnam Style at a pep rally?
Oh yeah, that was so cringe. That was.
Do you remember? Were you guys part of the Harlem Shake that we did in our school?
That was not.
We talked about this on pod.
I wasn't part of it, but I wanted to.
No,
I saw the video.
Remember how they did it during the last period, and we were seniors, so you were just kind of an asshole if you didn't leave and go to your car and go home.
Right.
I guess Paul didn't want to be in the history books for largest ever Lexington High School flash dance. Also, isn't it kind of cool that our school did something that Filthy Frank started? That we had a school sanctioned
Joji?
Event that was just
the beautiful.
Oh yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to dead name him.
Emo singer.
I'm trying to think of other. I mean, did y'all go to prom?
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all dance at prom?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Oh. I didn't. I famously played wall ball with Adam and Paul in
at
Paul's neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Adam and who?
Oh, I forgot this story's in contention that you weren't there. I don't remember why we were there, but yeah, we played wall ball in your
It was very weird that y'all went to my neighborhood on prom night while I was at prom to hang out.
I think
in
we just thought you were going to get home early. We were like, I mean, Paul, if he does have sex tonight, it'll be over pretty soon. So I'm like, he'll be back home.
All right, more dance.
Yeah,
stories.
Wait, prom's at 7? Yeah, Paul will be done by 6:59.
I come so quick that I go back and
talk. You go back and your kid is born and you still go back and
talk. Oh, my God. No, the thing that I heard about prom in our high school is there was a lot of grinding.
No, he didn't say AM or PM. It's going to take me 11 hours, 59 minutes to come. That's what he meant when he said
I don't know if that's much better to be honest.
That's unpleasurable in a different way.
Yes. I'd rather come negative and go back in time than take half of a day to come for at least.
And then something tragic happens in my life, so I've got to come over and over so I can go back in time far enough.
That's a movie. What are we doing, yo? No. We got to write this movie.
That's a movie. He's
oh
coming
God.
To save lives. That's how Paul stops 9/11.
The movie's
9/11.
Called Come Back.
I gotta get back to before September 11th, 2001.
The movie's called Come Back to the Future. You know, I guess I danced a little bit at prom. I'm trying to think other occasions to dance at.
But you wait, did you see you guys went to prom? Was grinding as big of a epidemic as people made it
oh,
sound
yeah,
like the teachers
were freak
did?
Oh yeah, dancing the whole night together.
Yeah, me and Paul were together. We ditched our dates.
Yeah, we ditched our dates to freak dance together.
Eight, 11 hours since how long it took. But no, I grinding wasn't that big at the. I only went to one prom my junior year, and it, no.
Oh, so we didn't even go the same year. I went senior year.
Oh, you did.
That's why we didn't freak dance.
Hey, what's up? I think it was our senior year was that fire and ice theme, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That
oh,
was really
yeah.
funny because
that.
That's the one I went to.
Yeah.
And that was the one where they wanted to make it fire and ice. And then they found out it was a condom thing. So they changed the theme to an elemental affair so they could keep all the same decorations.
It still sounds kind of raunchy.
I used to have a joke about that in my stand-up freshman year of college.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah.
I did that in the competition that I lost to a magician.
What was the flip that you did? Not fire and ice, but what was the other condom name you used?
Like they changed Trojan Bearskin.
The Bearskin, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, which was popular around that time.
Bearskin's really fallen off lately. It's not popular anymore. They had a real fall off.
I don't use condoms, so I don't know.
Hey, come on, you know.
Come on now, brother.
Your hand isn't worried about getting pregnant?
It isn't. Why are these all events? Why are you not talking about just like going out on a Saturday?
I mean, yeah, it's true. Like I'll dance almost anywhere. Like I mean, like. I feel like I dance in my house more than I sing in the shower.
Ooh,
that's a hot take.
Okay, I'm more of a singer than a dancer.
Yeah, I feel that.
I'm just such a bad singer.
I'm kind of multi-talented. I do it all.
Yeah, You're triple threat.
Well, Paul's usually doing the Indian dance, right? He's doing the Bhangra funk. He's like,
jalebi. Paul's baby. Like, there's nothing off limits when it comes to offending other cultures when I dance, which I respect a lot, actually. But yeah, I guess there's not like occasions, but like I'll dance at the house. So like on stage at Art Bar, Topher will play you intro music.
Oh, I've seen that before.
And I sometimes, if I just want to stall my set, I'll dance. And there's one night I danced for like 3 minutes and I was like, can I just go for 5 minutes and just not do my set tonight?
It's good cardio.
And then line dancing at a very conservative bar in Columbia. I have been multiple times and actually I love line dancing.
Can you break that down for me? What does that look like in practice?
I'll break it down. Okay. So,
do they have like a Blue Lives Matter flag?
No, they have a huge American flag behind the stage. Mm. And then all the bartenders have hoodies that have the CWP, which is the name of the bar, logo on it. And then on the back of it,
you're blowing up your spot right now.
For real. And then like on the back of it is a palmetto flag, but it's like, except for blue and white, it's like the tree is like has a American flag fill in, and then it says "Let's go Brandon" on it. So it's like, oh wow, so y'all are very conservative. And then Fox News.
So this
is
where you're hanging out, and this is where you're liking to go and hang out with your friends,
just to dance, and then I'm out.
Even as a disgusting soy lib like I am, I don't think I want MSNBC on the TVs at the bar I'm at. I don't get why Fox News is a part of this.
I don't get it either. It's like it's so conservative in there, and like I told them last time I was there, because like. I was like, honestly,
I really thought they were going to have like a sticker on the bar, not that it was going to be what you just said.
Oh, no, no, insane. It's kind of.
And that's right next to Art Bar in Columbia. That's so insane.
This is right next to Art Bar. And like, I go there because I have a lot of friends who go there. I don't know what that says about them.
Of course, those are your friends. Yeah,
of course. Those people, you know, but I was like, I told them last time I was there, I was like, honestly, y'all, I don't think I'm going to come back. I think it was funny to come with Christian because Christian likes dressing up as a conservative and just pretending to be very country. And it's just funny to see that bit in person. And that was the first time I went without Christian. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just a white person in this very conservative bar right now. And even though I love line dancing, this just
I feel like you got to go to Texas. I feel like Austin would be your spot because they do that type of shit, but it's all Mexican people. So you won't feel like a racist.
That's cool with me too.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of dressed how I am now. I'm not like, but everybody in there has like cowboy boots on, like cowboy hats. And honestly, and I was telling Adrian about this, there's more annoying parts of that bar besides how conservative they are. And one part is that if you get there early, they'll teach you all the line dances, even the most complicated ones. But the instructor is just in the middle or in the very front of the dance floor. So everybody crowds around her. So you cannot see what she's teaching after the first two easy songs.
That made me so angry.
So now I'm just here in a conservative bar where I can't even see how to line dance. I'm like, man. There's no point of being here.
This really matters to everyone.
It
does. We all really care.
Everybody's probably fuming and just, I get y'all. Listen,
I'm glad you told that story.
I'm the spokesperson for y'all's big fact chaps and no cap waps, right?
We're all straight pissed right now. We all care so much about it.
They don't teach the dances right.
Adrian literally went to the bathroom. He just went to the bathroom. Camera. Where? I hope he went to the bathroom. He might have fucking killed himself. That story sucked so much.
They don't teach the dances right. And I'm that pissed about it. Adrian, you heard that, right?
He hasn't even put his headphones back in.
No, you're complaining about the instructor gets lost in a sea of people trying to figure out what they're trying to do.
Oh, yeah, yep, exactly. So it's like, there's literally no point in me being there anymore. I'm like, I came here, and like the one thing I'm getting from it is that I guess I get to see some of my friends, but I want to learn how to do these really complicated dances, and then I can't even
do that.
Well,
you get to see your friends who live on farms and in rural parts of South Carolina and have very traditional values. Okay, so this was the inspiration behind it. Is there any more that you wanted to say more concisely about you going to do this, or is there anything else you want to say about dance? Do you not want to talk again about your Indian dance failure?
Before I bring that in, I do want to say, like, the inspiration behind this is, like, I really do love dancing, and if I was really good at, like, one sport or, like, hobby, I would put away comedy and music and not give a shit about that and just be really good at dancing, like...
You could mix them and become
really
a
good
Casey Frey type.
Say what?
You could mix them and become a Casey Frey type.
That is true.
Or you could be a Can't Stop Adopolis.
Lance Can't Stop Adopolis. You'll like him a lot. Have you heard of Fahim Anwar?
No.
He does the dancing stuff like Casey Frank, right? Yeah. He does that, but he does a character for it.
Are you doing that thing where you're doing like the evolution of dance over 100 years, or what is Casey Frank?
No, Casey Frank, no. You've sent me videos of him, and I sent you videos of him too. He's on TikTok, but he'll do a joke, and then a quick song will play, and he'll do a little dance, and then he's just back at it. It's kind of like Bernie Mac in Def Jam days, but...
I don't remember
this.
Kind of
like Bernie Mac in the Def Jam days.
No, you've sent me videos of him. I'll send you a video of him after this just to remind you. But
send me one that I've sent you. That way I know okay, that I sent
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Kick it.
Bam. I guess bam, the... Bam. But that's my big inspiration. I just love dancing a lot, but...
Oh, that is a thing. So you can actually dance. You're not one of those white people who like knows how to do one dance and just bust that out every time. Like they know how to do the worm or the robot, and so they do that.
I could do like 7 or 8 dances. So really, still not a lot. It's still like not even double digits. But
I don't even know if I know a named dance.
I could just feel the rhythm of a song and just kind of like, you know, just groove to it. You know, like I'm not embarrassed to just kind of like, hey, if people don't like my dancing, whatever, I'm a groove to it.
I'm not if I'm drunk enough, but that's about it. I also. Yeah. I need to have enough energy because I think I like to jump to songs, so I need to be energized enough that I can just jump to the song. Because if I'm
Paul's
got to
put on his
that,
like knee braces and stuff like that, he's got to put on.
Yeah. If I'm feeling too exhausted to do that, I really don't have a thing to go to other than the white guy like arms right and left thing.
Yeah. That, you don't want to do that. I do want to say this.
I don't.
Oh, you go ahead.
I was gonna say I kind of identify with what you're saying. Where there have been times where I've been at a club like pretty sober and I've watched someone else dance. I remember being at a gay club in New York and I was just like, damn, if I could dance like how that guy just has his own style of dancing that works for every song, that would be lit. That I would be like a 10 times better person out and about if I could do what that guy's doing. It was very flowy. It was very like arms out. It was like, I was like, damn, I wish I could do what that guy's doing.
And I tell this to a lot of people, like, I'm not saying I'm good at dancing or anything, but when people ever tell me that I'm not trying to get them out on the dance floor, like, just come on, come dance, you know, like we're just drinking, you know, and they won't do it. I'm like, dude, all you have to do is just have a somewhat all right two-step and you can just clap your hands. You can just kind of nod to the beat. But as long as you have just a basic two-step, people just see that as like, okay, he's grooving. It's not necessarily.
That's what I always tell people. You got to do just like, so your arms are like this.
All right, I guess I'll add commentary to this. Adrian and Phil have started doing the Macarena.
The chicken dance.
The chicken dance, dumbass. Paul's so bad at dances.
Phil and Adrian have started
doing
the
stanky leg. They started doing the stanky leg with their hands. I don't understand how.
Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
But no, I love dancing. I don't have to be necessarily drunk to do it. It does help a lot, though. I get why people, you know, need to get a little...
I'm great at it. Have you ever seen the movie Step It Up? I'm just like that. Yeah. I'm doing, like, twirls on my head. Oof. I'm doing, like, a little backflip. Yeah.
Oh, I get that.
Dude, I was trying to be modest earlier, but that's kind of how I dance.
You know, speaking of videos that we send each other, I do get a lot of joy out of dance battle videos that we've sent to each other. I think I might have sent you the one where it's the kid dancing their teacher. And then the teacher ends up being really good at dancing and the whole school's like, oh, shit. And then the one where it's the kid who does the move where he lifts up the person's arm and then smells their armpit and pretends to die. Like, all of those, like, videos, like, those really tickled me.
Oh, I had an era where I was really into Chicago footwork dance battles.
You loved that shit, dude. I also watched the Jabberwocky
video if it came up on my feed. Like, they're fire.
That's why you loved Bop. That's why you loved
the baby. Yeah, the Bop, that video was lit.
Dude. Last night I was checking through my like most listened to songs on Spotify, and 2019 Bop is like number 6 because you kept playing that song around me.
Do y'all like duo dancing at all? Like, do y'all like shag dancing or like,
you know that dance you do where like one person stands like this and the other stands perpendicular and you guys like go back and forth? That's
see the cartwheel?
I know that one.
Yeah. I rock with that.
No, I don't know any formal steps to a dance. I've never done dancing lessons or anything like that.
I've never done dancing lessons either, but also, like, I've never been a huge fan of, like,
except
duo
for salsa.
Dancing.
No, I did do salsa for a while.
I don't know. Yeah. I've never been motivated to even, like, want to learn how to do, like, a salsa dance with somebody or, like, a shag, especially shag dancing. Shag dancing is just, it's still impressive.
That just sounds racist. It sounds like you're doing something in Charleston with, like, all white people.
Yeah, shag
is a
very...
Are you thinking of the dance at Charleston or are you thinking of the city?
I think both.
Okay.
No, the dance.
That sounds like something
really
that racist
cool.
white people do in an all white gathering.
The dance in the Charleston is a footwork dance, and it's really good.
Oh, ankle breaker, a little juke.
I will say the one song that I hate at weddings that I always refuse to dance to, like any other song I'll dance to, is that "Hey Caroline." Hey Caroline.
Oh, Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline. That's right.
And you know every white person is doing the pointing their finger up with the. They gotta get their finger pointing up for every dude.
It's so cringy to me.
I know it from karaoke, not from from dancing. But do you have a like an actual discerning taste in dance music? You're not like listening to EDM or anything like that, right?
No, like do they
it's
have
just
like
what
a, like
someone
a preferred
would play
genre
at a
to dance to?
Yeah, it's just whatever people would play at a wedding, right?
Yeah, it's kind of whatever they play at a wedding, and, like, most of them, like, they kind of play the same stuff at weddings, so I'll kind of just, like, know, and then if not, I'll just kind of watch what other people are doing, and I can just kind of catch on, but, like, with, but mainly hip-hop dancing I like the most, like...
It's mostly just the Cupid Shuffle.
Cupid Shuffle, yeah, I fuck with the Cupid Shuffle hard, though, I really do. The, shoulder lean's easy, stanky leg, crank that, I'll do that. Any of the hit rap songs, like all the dance moves, they're fun to do, especially if you have a little bit of liquor in your system. Like, that's just fun, bro.
Wedding dancing makes me really nervous because I feel it feels awkward to me. EDM dancing, I like because that's like literally you just find the beat in the song and it's so steady and never changes that you just kind of like you just kind of ride the beat.
Yeah,
and you
I kind of
really
think that's
off.
My issue is that I think as a producer, I stick too much to the ones and twos of, like, the snare and the kick, and most people have much more flowy dance moves that don't just go, like, boom, bam, boom.
You know, I never get really nervous dancing that much anymore, but I still get nervous about this, and I don't know if y'all can resonate with this, at least, like, early days, when I used to go to, like, New Brooklyn in high school to see, like, Coleman's Brothers band play, and when they do a song, and, I would start bopping my head, I would always think in my head, like, am I bopping to the right beat? Am I, like, looking weird right now? Like, I always had that paranoia. I don't know if y'all ever did either.
And now that you're a rapper, you're like, I'm on the beat.
Oh, I'm on the beat.
Turn
right
my
now.
Headphones up. No, he's more of a blue face. Phil... Wait, hold on. What was I going to say?
What timely reference, Adrian. Shout out to all our blue faith heads.
Hey,
Krishan
Rao.
Isn't he like a boxer now? What is he doing now?
He's just a big YouTuber, like social personality now. Like, he has his own reality show with his baby mama.
No, I think he got a role in the new Avatar movie.
Because he's blue, I get it. Do you ever get in the mosh pit?
No, never really been. Because I don't want to get punched. I'm not going to have a good time. If I get punched, someone's going to get shot, and I don't want to be, you know.
That's why I never go to the conservative line dancing bar.
I mean, I could take a bullet there. I'm cool with that. I'm wearing that.
You're not
going to
take
vest.
A bullet there. You're not. No one's going to give you a bullet there.
All right. Adrian has always complained about having racism done on him. We get it. The country is fundamentally racist.
Just go to CWP.
Built on a history of slavery and exploitation. Get over it.
Phil's the one wearing an Argentina jersey.
That's true. Messy.
Okay, did I have any other questions or ideas about dancing? Yeah. All right, should we get into Paul's article?
Okay, I'm bringing in Dance Spirit, Dear Katie. Help, I can't figure out my dance performance face. I'm either smiling too much or not smiling enough, and everything I do feels fake. How can I find a natural onstage expression? Helen.
It's actually a really good question because I've seen a lot of people dance with like a lot of expressions on their face, and I never think about that when I'm dancing. I wouldn't even call myself a dancer. I just like to dance, but I never smile. I never think about it. And
so you don't even know what face you make while dancing.
No,
I close my eyes most of the time. Yeah.
Oh, I never close my eyes, but I do just kind of like concentrate on what I'm doing. But I never like.
Well, maybe the correct term is I just kind of black out my own, like, like I'm so anxious about it, I'm just like, I'm going to black out whatever I'm seeing of
myself
doing
right now. The
whole
time you just have your tongue out like,
The face you should make, I don't know, I feel like when I see professional dancers on a stage, they're making a serious face usually. They never look happy to be on stage. They kind of look like they're at gunpoint.
Are you watching a ballet or what are you watching? I feel like I mostly see dancers look like very like happy.
When people are crumping, y'all know what crumping is? Like with your arms and you do those like cool.
Yeah, from 2004, I've seen a lot of crumping.
Crumping.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Who do crumpers smile the most? I don't think crumpers ever
smile. I've watched
not smile.
Marge Simpson crump on The Simpsons in 2011. Like I know what this is.
But yeah. People who crump, they smile a lot. They never stop smiling from what I've seen. Other than that, yeah, I really don't see too much smiling faces. If it's not like breakdancing or like something hip-hop inspired, I really don't see too much.
Well, smiling. Sometimes the hip-hop inspired stuff's meant to be a battle, so you have to look angry at your opponent.
That's true,
you
yeah.
What's that scene from Mean Girls, White Chicks, where they do the dance battle?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta have like a little stank face. Like
shout out to the Wayans brothers.
That was a solid movie.
Yeah, the Wayans brothers, not the Wayans brothers. Do you have like a favorite dance scene from a movie before we wrap this up, Paul?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, not Step It Up.
How I Met Your Mother. Robin and Neil Patrick Harris.
I would have to say probably one of the last scenes of Stomp the Yard when he stands on his elbow, because I guess that was a really big deal at the time for breakdancing, and that's really hard. I don't think that's necessarily a very hard thing to do. I think it's kind of
Or oh, even everyone like can do it. It was like the first 720. It's like it was hard at the time.
Yeah.
But now it's like even a 17-year-old can do a 720.
I think maybe that's the vibe of it. Because I see a lot of that's people cool. do that now. Like, I watched the Red Bull competition that was in the UK of, like, I think it was, like, the Red Bull National, like, championship for, like, breakdancing or something like that. And a lot of people did that elbow move. And I was like, oh, so this isn't as big as a deal as Stomp the Yard made it out to be. But
someone just has to break the ceiling for it, though. That's crazy that someone did it first, though.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's a really cool move. It still looks really cool.
The answer to this column, dear Helen, I think the key to finding a performance face is not to overthink it. The more you worry about your expression, the more forced it's going to look. But I know that's easier said than done. Start by focusing on dancing. How does the role you're performing make you feel? How does the music make you feel? Really home in on the meaning of the... She said home in. I think she meant hone.
It said hone in. Yeah.
Really home in on the meaning of the piece you're dancing. If you're playing a character, keep a dialogue running in your head. What are you saying to the other dancers on stage right now? How are you feeling about what they're saying back? And if it's a joyous piece, don't be afraid to smile. You don't have to have the same expression for every role. The most important thing is to let your love of dancing shine through. Focus on the music and the artistry first, and your face will naturally follow.
That seems like a cop-out.
I kind of get it with the whole, like, don't overthink it thing. I will say this, so then I forgot to mention that, like, the dance that Carlton does in The Fresh Prince, it wouldn't have been the same without a smile.
It's not unusual.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
All right, should we go to my column?
Yep, I'm down.
All right, here's my column. And so this is a story that I didn't tell, but I did a little bit of local community theater when I was a kid. I did Aladdin Jr. I was cast as guard number 2, and it maybe gave me bigger britches than I should have had. And so I went and auditioned for Fiddler on the Roof for Trustus Theater in Columbia as a middle schooler. And I did not make it past the first auditions. And part of it, I think, is because of how bad I was at the dancing that you have to do Fiddler on the Roof. And so this is a question about a dance memory that has haunted me for quite a while about Fiddler on the Roof. This is from The New York's The Ethicist.
Oh, Kwame. This guy is going to be like the ethical thing to do is to murder anybody who doesn't give you the role.
I am involved in a well-regarded community theater that has made significant efforts to diversify its membership, casts, and audience, and conflict has arisen over a proposed production of Fiddler on the Roof. Yes, we know, Fiddler has been done to death in community theaters. A different issue. The director proposing the production has committed himself to colorblind casting. Others involved say that, in view of the Jewish community the play is about, they would consider this to be cultural appropriation. How should we approach this conflict in values? Names withheld. So how would you guys cast a production of Fiddler on the Roof?
So Fiddler on the Roof is about Eastern European Jews, and they're upset that a black man might get cast in it.
Tradition. I don't actually know. I never actually did the play, so I don't know what it's about.
They're asking if they should cast a black person as the Fiddler on the Roof when they're supposed to be white?
No, they're asking if colorblind casting is inappropriate for
But what they're saying is I don't think a black person should play a Jewish person. Come on, we all know what they're saying.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think that's 100% what they're saying.
That might be what it is.
I mean, look at Hamilton, you know what I mean?
But what I wanted to say before this is that we didn't really bring in the fact that Phil was a musical theater minor in college, which I actually relates to both columns I thought about bringing in. But can you talk a little bit more about your musical theater background, which has dancing involved, but is more of like a, you know, stage production type
thing? It was just theater, so I guess I don't know too much about musical theater, but I really don't have too much background in it, to be honest. Like, I was never in a play. I never really helped out with the play. I had to attend a lot of plays in college to kind of, like, write reports on them and stuff.
Well, we watched Animal Farm together. I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah, we watched Animal Farm.
Wait, that's a play?
They had a play for that at USC, yeah.
Based on the novel?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, how realistic were the animals? Were they, like, full furry costumes? Or were they just, like, people with, like, orange face makeup?
I don't. Do you remember, Adrian? I really don't remember. I remember what theater.
It was more like furry, like latex bodysuit type bullshit.
I want to shout out local comedian Jerry from Columbia, who his whole joke about this is like, "Hey y'all, what if the people from Animal Lord Farm landed on the Lord of the Flies. That's what it was. Yeah, the people from Lord of the Flies landed on Epstein's Island. Wouldn't that be funny? And that's his whole joke. That's so funny. But yeah, back to
it is a good joke. It has nothing to do with Animal Farm.
Yes. I think I'm just thinking about plays. I don't even know. I'm fucked up.
Off tobacco? You barely drank.
You've had martini.
A beer and a couple sips of.
I had like four shit. Beers at the Nate show.
You had one.
I had two. Wait, Stellas.
How many hot dogs and chicken fingies?
I had two glizzies, three chicken fingies.
You didn't have any bird dogs? You didn't put that dog right in the little.
Nah.
Bun?
I was scared I was going to get too drunk there because all the free alcohol, but. I got a nice little buzz.
That's
anyway,
never been a fear of mine.
It's, yeah,
it is a fun.
That's
spot.
Always been an
the
aspiration.
Lady next to us, the woman next to us, every joke she would like elbow her husband, be like, "That's bad."
I was like,
"Okay,
we get it.
Naughty
for
that one.
That joke is bad, but you don't need to keep telling your husband about it."
There was one joke that Nate was like, "We live in a cul-de-sac and we live at the top of the cul-de-sac, so we're kind of like in charge." And she hit her husband. She was like, "That's so true." It's like they obviously live in a cul-de-sac.
That's so cool.
And it's so funny because it was all clean comedy, but somehow she still was acting like it was really controversial.
Yeah, that's so bad.
Yeah.
But it was all very clean. And she was like, "Oh, come on now."
I think maybe the one joke that was like, I guess, a little bit raunchy was the Pearl Harbor thing. Even that was really funny. He did that joke on SNL, I think. He did a lot of his stuff. He did like 10 minutes of his stuff.
Pearl
like,
Harboring these nuts?
No, the joke was like, he doesn't know anything about history. So any like historical movie, he's always on the edge of his seat. Like, what's going to happen? And he was like, Pearl Harbor?
Phil
I was just
explaining
as surprised
this joke
were.
Horribly. He was like, "I met this girl named Pearl. She's a stripper. And I was like, I harbored my nuts right in her mouth." So that's how I remember the bit.
And he was like, "Fuck y'all bitches. You're going to pay extra. No refunds." And it was like, "Nate."
I like that.
I don't know what you're saying about like a history movies are a surprise to me because I'm stupid and I was just as surprised as they were.
I made that up. I just thought it'd be cute.
That's a Phil joke. I don't know what the fuck
that's
about.
That's all me, baby.
I like that is just a joke about being uneducated. That's insane.
That's the whole thing.
Y'all see Oppenheimer?
My main review of Oppenheimer was that there was not enough bombs. He only did one. And then somebody at a party I was talking to about it, they were like, "He didn't do that many bombs." And I'm like, "He's the bomb guy. Shut the fuck up." Like, he was supposed to be the bomb guy. And he's just one bomb in the movie, and that's it? And then it's all talking? Did y'all like that movie? I thought it was lame.
I didn't watch it.
I don't blame you.
I really liked it.
You liked it? I like that you got to see him naked. Okay, so I guess we should answer this person's question.
Oh yeah, about colorblind casting and do you guys want to do a Hamilton or what do you guys want to y'all do? What do you guys want to do?
I'm gonna say like I didn't like Hamilton actually, but I didn't see anything. You didn't like Hamilton either though, right?
But I wouldn't
I don't
say
like
it
the
on
soundtrack.
The podcast.
I never watched it.
Oh, it's fine, but people just overrated it so much.
Dude, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, man,
it changed the world.
That movie's lame.
It's fine. I also hate Hamilton. And it's funny that we were just both able to pretend we like it and bully Phil it to be like, "No, yeah, I guess it was fine."
It is a fine. No. It's just like everybody watched it so many times. Like, how are y'all watching this like 3-hour long production over and over again? Like, I got it
actually,
the first time.
Speaking of things that Paul and I texted about earlier today, that was FD's first video, right? Was Rapping Slave Master as a Hamilton critique.
Oh, yeah. Really? Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally opened the first performance of it to Barack Obama. I feel like that tells you everything you need to know about, like...
Also, wasn't Hamilton the one where they, like, Mike Pence was in the audience and they were like, "We're gonna stop performing because you don't like abortion."
No, they didn't even stop performing. That would have been too controversial. They literally just... They said at the start of the show, "I hope the next administration is fair to everybody." Which was a subtle dig at him.
Fuck that.
It was because it was before Trump actually took power, and they said, "We hope that you're fair to everybody in the future," and that was considered controversial. It's like, kick him out of the audience if you want to make a controversial political statement. You're just going to be like, "I hope you're nice, and we're still going to dance for you." Fuck off.
Bam, bam, bam. Bam, ba, bam, 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 bam. The opening song.
I got to watch that. I got to watch that episode now.
I think colorblind casting, actually, I'm surprised I brought this in to little effect, because this is such a huge, like, nerdy gamer incel bullshit thing is like, what, Little Mermaid's black now? This character from my video game is black now? It's so crazy how much people actually care about this shit. Yeah. It's insane. Or people who are like, if you don't actually realize, like, the Little Mermaid, the lore is from Norway, and so she needs to be white because that's the character's, like, origin. It's like,
that's nuts.
Shut the fuck up, you
fucking racist. Yeah, such a good point. I mean, yeah, bad
point.
Maybe
a story about oppression will work better in a modern American context if you make the character's ethnicity or race that's persecuted in a modern American context.
Also, nobody's going to come see your dumb play anyway. It's not going to matter. You know what I mean?
That's a good
kind
point.
Of the best
that's
point
a good
that's
point,
been
though,
made.
Yeah.
You're not losing any audience by by casting a different race for this Jewish person. Like, it's gonna be a bad play. So yeah, I guess my advice is like, you know, who fucking cares? Like, it's not that big of a deal. Stop stressing about it. You're making yourself look worse.
And you know, it's a meritocracy. Pick the best people. You know, don't pick Phil. Pick the people who are actually good at doing musical theater. People
hey,
who
man,
are good
I'm
at
the
acting.
Best at acting. Hey, you come to my daughter's wedding the day that my daughter's getting married, huh?
I mean, that would be the day that I would come to that, yeah.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. You want to be the flower girl?
You want to be the scumfuck flower boy?
Did you see the deleted scene in The Godfather when he was like, my daughter's going to marry today? What? I guess that's my answer, is that nobody's going to come to your play anyway. Who cares?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that that works for me. Do you want to read the answer while Paul's gone?
Oh, Paul just came back. All right, we're ready for the answer.
Cultural appropriation is like one of those discarded medical diagnoses, throat distemper, the vapors, that derive from now discredited
the vapors,
demons,
the vape
even
gods.
Though they were often applied to genuine ailments. Wait, the ethicist is saying that cultural appropriation doesn't exist? As I've argued before, the habit of reducing the complexities of identity and culture to a matter of ownership is an artifact of our own property rights-obsessed culture. We'll do better to talk about disrespect, and disrespect isn't the issue here. Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick, the Jewish-American duo behind Fiddler, certainly weren't hung up on anything like cultural appropriation. Early on, they were in touch with Frank Sinatra for the part of Tevye, and a previous musical of theirs centered on a crusading Christian clergyman. Still, readers will have noticed that controversies over casting in filmed as well as live entertainment have become commonplace. They enact a seeming clash between two ethical ideas. So it might be worth taking the time to get a clearer sense of the plot here. Okay, this is a really long answer. I don't know if I want to read all of it, but let's see what he has to say about this. On one hand, there's a concern to create opportunities for non-white performers. Why shouldn't black people get to play Hamlet as well as Othello? On the other hand, people have asked for more demographic specificity and representation, often invoking authenticity. This approach, which rightly explores, say, the old Hollywood tradition of whitewashing, Asian roles encompasses color consciousness, casting, and more, so that an Asian role belongs to an Asian actor, a lesbian role to a lesbian actor, a trans role to a trans actor. By the mixing logic of non-traditional casting, the performer's identity doesn't matter, but by this matching logic of authenticity, a performer's identity matters a lot. Each approach can uphold the value of inclusion, and each may present complications. Non-traditional casting can conjure fun, imaginative spaces, modeling a world free of racism, but casting colorblind can be a problem when your aim is to depict racial injustice. Non-traditional casting is of particular value when there's a tradition to be bucked. Familiar works of historical episodes can be experienced in fresh ways. I love that an open access approach towards classics have been common, including the amateur realm. In high school, I was cast as the menacing Goldberg in Harold Pinter's 1957 play, The Birthday Party, Mazel Tov. It was relevant that the play only had been staged countless times. For variety's sake, it was easy to discount as a performer, a performer's ancestry or age. That's the attitude you take with your Fiddler. When a show has been done to death,
I know we gave them a pass as well, but it's so Kwame to hear Kwame be like, yeah, do whatever you want. What's unethical? Why do I even call my column the ethicist? Everything's ethical. Do whatever you want.
Well, I think they're pushing back on it more than I'm maybe laying on with how much I'm reading of this, but that's the attitude to take with your Fiddler. When a show has been done to death, the task is to bring it to life so that, in Bock's own words, it's as if the audience were seeing it for the first time. The truth is that this musical is a piece of American culture, not of a shuttle culture, and appropriation was in the making on its first place. Mix or match. It depends on the particular ambition.
Shuttle? Is there no T there?
Shtetl. No, you're right. I missed the T. Shtetl culture. Any appropriation was in the making of the first place. Mix or match. It depends on the particular ambitions of particular stagings. The ethical error is to suppose only one model is right. If the audience can get over the fact that the people on your musical stage are constantly dancing and bursting into song, as sadly people seldom do in real life, it can get over the fact that they might not look like the villagers from the Pale of Settlement. If you have confidence in your director, let him fiddle with the fiddler as he prefers. So really, the weirdest thing about it is that Kwame gives a pass just because it's overdone. And so he's literally just like, you can do whatever you want to it because it's an overdone piece of art.
Isn't that kind of the stereotype about local productions of musicals, is that they always try to do like a overly artistic twist on the piece because they want to make it their own?
I don't know. I've only ever done local theater pieces that were just basic interpretations of everything.
What if we did Chicago, but it was a sci-fi story? I feel like that type of shit is kind of like a joke people do about like local musicals.
No, I get that. No, it's okay. I zoned out on that answer after like two sentences.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was really boring. Yeah. You want to get in the third segment?
Do you have like any closing thoughts?
It's one of those things where I remember when The Little Mermaid had a black actress play their main lead, and I had a complaint to my sister where I was like, are people actually complaining about this? Like, who cares about this shit? I keep hearing people complain about it, but no one actually who's complaining about
No, I know what you're saying. People complaining about the complainers, and you're like, is anybody actually complaining?
Yeah. And then Doralee sent me a whole bunch of posts from like Disney things that she was on Facebook where people were being super racist, and I was like, all right, fair enough. People are actually super racist. Totally get it. And I get why people are like, do still need to be like, it's crazy that people are mad about this.
I agree with you. Sometimes I'm not on those exactly correct Reddit communities and stuff where I was like, is anybody, who really cares about the new Ghostbusters movie? And it turns out actually a lot of people
And then
people
you find out
care.
There's like a crazy amount of people who actually do. And it's
I didn't even know people were mad about that. Like, damn.
Yeah. All right, cool. You ready for the third segment?
About that. I know this happened. I think this happened last time too in the pod, but I have a family emergency and I just need to go. So I'm not going to be able to do the third segment with y'all today.
Philly, you're drunk, man. How are you going to get home?
I'll drive. I drove my car here, so.
Well, you're drunk, man.
Anyway,
and I'm sorry to hear about your family emergency, man.
Sorry
about that. Your family emergency. I'm sorry about that.
Family.
You really feel comfortable driving home right now?
Yeah, I'll just take your car. Okay.
All right, cool. I guess we don't really have a third segment planned.
No. You know, I was recently hanging out with do you know the old jazz musician Louis Armstrong? Become a
like I'm familiar, yeah.
Friend
yeah.
of mine recently. I mean, be kind of a big get if we could get him on, but you know, I'd have to ask him, and probably like you know he'd say no because he's.
Well, he'd probably be like Ryan Massey. Probably say yes, and then you just never bring him on.
Well, what was this to?
Louis,
huh?
What are you doing?
Wait,
here?
Who's that?
Where are we recording?
This is my buddy Louis.
Are we live?
Yeah.
Hey, how's
my
it going?
Phil just left.
Huh?
My boy Phil.
Yeah, he had a family emergency.
What's that mean? Why'd
you
do
know
that
what
in
quote
marks?
I had to get on this pod. I didn't say that.
What?
Okay, welcome onto the pod, Louis Armstrong.
In the flesh.
In the flesh, yeah.
It's me.
It's good to have you here. Paul said he was a friend of yours. Like, how do you guys know each other?
I think friend is a little bit of a strong word for somebody like Paul.
Strong word.
Is this a rap podcast? Is this you guys spit bars at me the whole time?
I like you.
I mean, I thought we were friends.
Oh, we're cool. He just mentioned that he had a podcast that was charting in Kazakhstan. And I was like, I gotta go. I gotta be on this podcast. I have a lot of Kazakhstans, if you will.
It feels like you're losing your voice. Have you been talking a lot today?
I've been playing the trumpet all day. So
when did you learn the word stand? That's kind of like a young, hip word.
I wrote that song.
The one that samples Dido very heavily?
I wrote Dido's song, and then Eminem was going to sample it, and he was asking me if it was okay. And I was like, yeah, but I'm going to write your song too.
This is incredible. Like,
double,
jazz
double,
legend
double,
Louis Armstrong.
Revenue checks. When you get like a couple cents in the mail.
It sounds like you about your money.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, how much is this? This is a paid podcast, yeah?
Well, not so much.
Well, Paul can pay you. I can't.
All right. No, I'll make sure. I'm not leaving you without a check.
I'm not going to pay him. He's my friend. Why would I pay him to come on my podcast?
I'm not leaving here without a couple racks.
What was a rack back in your day? You were famous so long ago.
No, it's still nickels. A rack. It just means that the transfer.
It's still 20 nickels? It's a roll of nickels that you get at the bank.
A roll of nickels is not 20 nickels. Wait, maybe it is.
Back in my day, it was 20 nickels. I don't know how many y'all fit in a roll now, but it was 20 nickels.
Wait, so Louis, what do you got going on these days? What are you doing?
Podcast. I do a lot of podcasts.
Wait, what other podcasts have you been on?
JRE just did that one.
Oh, really?
He's not going to release it, though. I said some nasty things on that podcast.
Wait, what got you banned off the JRE podcast?
That's what I'm saying.
You can say anything you want about vaccines, like, well, clearly, but you can't say.
I saw it. I was like, clearly, nothing's off limits for Louis. And I got up there. Adrian, is that your name?
Yeah.
You would not like to be in attendance of that podcast.
I can imagine, yeah.
Where are you from? Outskirts?
Gilbert, South Carolina.
Okay.
Sorry about that. My voice just cracked. I got a little heated. He said Gilbert, and I was...
You're thinking Gilbert.
I was thinking Gilbert.
The thing you need to know about Adrian is a lot of us have been to his hood. They don't know him.
Oh, yeah, they don't know. I've been to his hood, and they're like, Adrian, who? Big fact, no cap.
You were asking about me, and you didn't even know who I am?
I was doing this podcast, so I went to each of y'all's hoods. Everybody knew Paul. Everybody was like, yeah, Paul.
Paul, that little bitch-ass, menacing little
stinker. He plays wall ball really loud every prom season.
Every prom season, he's just in trenches.
Every time prom happens.
Oh, Louis, I don't mean to interrupt, but this is
Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Armstrong, are you a big dancer?
Is what other people call me, but you can call me Louis. I'm just messing with you. What do you say?
Are you a big dancer?
Yeah. Well, I was pretty good. I was on Dancing with the Stars. The first season didn't come out.
The first season of Dancing with the Stars.
I was crumping. I was so good at crumping, and they just couldn't take it. I crumped to "It's a Beautiful
World."
You
should have won
the song.
I'll see trees.
Wait,
you're on mute. I can't hear
I'm
you.
Not. I see trees.
Oh, here we go.
Are you trying to see my? Oh, go ahead. Okay.
Red roses too.
That was pretty good.
Louis, can I ask you a question? A lot of people have reported.
You just did, but yeah, you can ask me a second question.
Oh, you do that?
Dude, Louis's so fucking funny.
You're one of these people?
Oh, this isn't a comedy podcast?
No, you have it mistaken. This is like an NPR type podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm good at both subjects.
A lot of people have reported your death. A lot of people have actually claimed you died in the 70s.
Mm.
How are you here in front of us today?
You know how Tupac went to Cuba?
Mm-hmm.
I went to Kazakhstan, which explains the fan base I have in Kazakhstan. The Kazakhstans. Yeah, what do you say? And when I ran into Paul today, we ran into each, literally, I hit him straight on. I was drunk as hell. I was in the street and I hit him straight on. And he was like, you can repay me by doing my podcast today. And he said it was number one in Kazakhstan. And I was like, well, I guess it only makes sense.
Well, that answers all my questions. That makes sense.
People have always said, Paul, go on Louis Armstrong's podcast, which is famously called...
Y'all know about my podcast? I put that out in public?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually what happens in a podcast.
Yeah, I did come out with a podcast. It was about working out. It was called Strong Arms.
That was your thing?
Strong okay. Arms, yeah. A little name flip, if you will. I didn't know I made that public. I've said some nasty things on that podcast as well. And
I was about to say, you kind of have a reputation for being really mean to your staff. And like right now, you seem like a very delightful person.
You call them
a
staff?
Very agreeable.
Oh, well,
what?
They're definitely not getting paid. For anything they're doing for me.
You're not paying anybody in your staff?
They pay me. I take it out of their checks.
For what, experience?
I give them their checks and they don't see, but I put very tiny, like, parentheses around the amount. So it's really like a negative check.
Oh, wait. You think parentheses represent a negative number?
That's
negative.
Almost something like an Excel workbook.
That's almost something that's very common in an American accounting with modern accounting software tools that a parentheses
that's
represents
more like what
a negative
an accountant
number.
Would do, not I'm like
an
a, account, yeah.
I'm now an accountant in Kazakhstan.
Oh, okay.
I can't do music there because everybody would know, like, oh, Louis's back from the dead.
You know, because it's just so weird, because our friend Phil, who just left, you caught the, like, you must have passed him in the hallway leaving.
Is
he's
an
accountant. Yeah.
Makes sense. He's pretty cool.
He's pretty not cool an accountant. Guy. He's definitely just an insurance salesman. He's not an accountant. And he wouldn't be mad about me saying that he's an insurance salesman. He wouldn't try and correct me about that.
He doesn't sound like an insurance salesman to me. He doesn't sound like he does the sales part.
He wouldn't say I do billing and customer service.
I mean, Louis, I can tell you this because, I mean, I would never say this around Phil. Careful. Adrian was telling me that he's kind of like, why would I be careful? You're Louis.
Go ahead.
That he was like too stupid to get a CPA.
What is a CPA? Do you even know what that means?
I don't know. Some accounting
cock
bullshit.
Penis assessment.
Yeah, he's too stupid to get that.
Oh, he could definitely be the cock penis assessment. Just the assessment. He's not even the assessor. He is just the report. Okay, yeah. No, smart guy, though. He looked cool. Thought it was the guy from Prison Break. Have y'all seen this show, Prison Break?
This is what you've been using your time for?
I've been watching a lot of... there's not a lot to do in Kazakhstan right now. Everybody thinks I'm dead and I just do accounting, so I watch
Wait,
TV
do you
show.
Live in Kazakhstan or not? I can't tell. I feel like I'm getting mixed signals about whether or not you live here or in Kazakhstan.
Oh, I stay in I was here on vacation.
Oh, okay.
Charlotte, I went to go see Nate Bogatsky.
Oh, Bogatsky?
Because that's not his name.
Earlier tonight. We talked
I was in the front row. I'm assuming y'all were in the very back. I was like, I see a good comedian. Funny openers too.
Oh, see.
And they asked me multiple times, stop singing. Your voice is very distinct and is ruining the show.
Do you do any karaoke around town?
No, I can't. I can only talk like this and I can only sing like this, so everybody's gonna know it's me.
Hey, Louis, you know, you're such a famous
guy.
But
yeah, I do karaoke. What?
You're such a famous guy. Did you know you have a Wikipedia page?
Well, I'm aware, yeah. I edit it every day.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I was scrolling through and there's some things to me that are just like really cool. It's just like, you know, I'm seeing here that you were born in, sorry, sometimes I get a stutter. Well, just finish that off for me.
New Orleans.
Okay, yeah. In the year.
They got it wrong, but it's 1940.
this is what I always say.
It was so long ago that I'm not really. I don't
can't
remember.
Trust Wikipedia. I'm always saying that because anybody can go on there and write anything. And some scamp, some fucking liars have gone on there and written that you were born on July 4th, 1900.
What a piece of shit.
You were born 40 years later.
Nah, yep, 42.
I can tell.
That's how I'm still
they
alive
thought you
today.
Were already, like, basically dead by the time
it's
you
came. How you're a 92-year-old man. How would you be alive if you were 124?
Exactly. Thank you. I'm starting to like this.
Okay, and it says you were born to two parents from which countries?
Don't y'all have it up? Why can't y'all just read it? Why are you asking
I don't have it up. I heard on the
Paul, do you want
to... You know, I read it and then I scrolled away too quick. I'm so confused, man. Wikipedia is so hard to get around. It's such a weird website.
One was from Kazakhstan and the other one was from the States.
Makes sense. You went home.
No. But to be honest, and you could check me on this, they were both born in the States.
All right, I'll check you on. I'll leave it in the description if that's if you're
no. Go ahead, say which countries.
Okay.
Early life.
We'll scroll back.
You know so much about yourself.
You can quiz me on my whole life. A lot of people don't think I'm Louis, but
of course you are.
Yeah, you're born to your mom. Your mom, who of course you would know her name. Why don't you go ahead and just let the audience know. I don't know.
All the letters in her name are silent, so you can't hear those letters, so it's a different, it's pronounced Barbara.
Okay, because it says here on Wikipedia that it's Mary Albert.
Yeah, so the M, A, and the R, and the Y are silent. And it's a hard Barbara. That's
it's
name.
A hard what?
Barbara. Listen, JRE already almost got me canceled. This podcast is dropping, and I'm editing that part out.
This is all dropping. Right.
This is my half to edit.
I can't even read this. Wikipedia is just getting so many things about your life wrong. Fuck, like, I'm not even gonna... What am I gonna do? Keep going through this for no reason just to see a bunch of bullshit that's not even true?
Right, like how many days I spent in jail after I got the marijuana charges?
How many days was that?
9 days.
Ooh, that's true.
Louis, I want to get to know the real Louis.
You sent me that snapshot of the Wikipedia page of Louis Armstrong.
That sounds like... I just remember that part of my life very well. Hardest 9 years of my life.
I want to get to know the real Louis. Why was that so hard?
The jail? Because I couldn't toke up, baby. I couldn't hit that good, baby. They had nothing. Nothing in jail. Besides...
Because you said it was like 100 times better than whiskey, right?
Was 100 the number? Is that the trick question? I did say that, yeah, though. Yeah, I did say that was way better than whiskey. I don't remember the number I chose, but... yeah, it's just overall my drug of choice, and I enjoyed it. And 9 days was the longest I've been without smoking, so it hurt.
Okay. How do you deal with all the fame? You know, it seems like you had a tough time with it that you moved all the way to Kazakhstan and faked your own death. You know,
it seems like a lot. It seems like a lot.
I'm pretty famous. That everybody knows that I'm Louis Armstrong. There. Yeah.
The kids today, they really care about Louis Armstrong.
All the Kazakhstan people do, and I tell each one of them, don't tell everybody else. That's why nobody really knows.
Okay.
They're all good at keeping secrets. I trust them.
They say that Kazakhs, famously great secret
keepers. Can I derail this a little bit? We've been really nice to you. We've been doing the kid gloves, but Louis, how do you respond to the allegations that you've been mistreating your staff?
I'll put it like this. I don't really give a fuck, and I'm getting paid. Listen, don't JRE me. I'm getting all my shit out this episode. Going back to the checks, I give them the checks. They think they're getting paid, but it has the tiny parentheses on the left and right of the figure. So when they go to cash it, I get that money in my account in direct deposits from their account. It withdraws and it goes into mine.
And these are young artists hoping to make it into the scene, and this is how you're treating these
artists. Is that what you want to call? Have you seen these guys?
I mean, not personally.
They can't blow a trumpet worth a shit.
Is that a sex joke? I don't understand.
I thought you called it the horn.
That and the trumpet instrument. I try to teach them all how to play. They can't even play hot cross buns.
Wait, the people you have on staff are people who are learning how to play trumpet?
Yeah, that's my staff. It's just 20 kids. All learning how to play trumpet, and I'm like, hey, you come
kids.
Up. Of age.
Of age? What does that mean?
I'm not going to mention the age law in Kazakhstan, but that's the one I go by. But no, what was I saying? Yeah, 20 kids, great kids, learning how to play trumpet. What was the question? Because I had they can't
the
even play hot
of you.
What?
Of you mistreating your staff.
I don't really... Because they're kids, they don't know. What are the allegations exactly? Like, what are people saying?
You don't pay them, you just make them blow you?
That, okay, the trumpet thing was strictly the instrument. I was making a joke of your anecdote.
Okay.
If that's one of the allegations, I am fighting that.
In the Kazakhstan court of law.
No, it's not going to court. It can't go to court.
You go like to the
court, some other shit's gonna get
it
out, and I
can't
court. Risk that.
Can't go to court.
This ain't going to the feds. I'll tell you that. So the don't pay them part. That's true. Yeah, I stand on business with that.
You know what, Adrian? This isn't a got you style podcast. We didn't bring Louis Armstrong on here to try to catch him out in some sort of scandal or lie. Okay, that's not me. And honestly, I don't think that's you, Adrian. I think you're playing a part here. I think you think this is what journalism is, and I think I want to get to the heart of who we are.
Yeah, you got a bad attitude.
I agree with what Paul's saying. I just tried to make a viral moment. I shouldn't have done that. I just want to know who you are.
Well, lucky for you, what I do when I go on podcast is I do a got you, like, from a guest perspective. So I'm here to cancel you, really. I know a lot of shit about Big Facts No Cap that can get y'all off the map. So just don't test me. Just don't.
Yeah. No, I'd love to hear it, yeah.
Oh, you want to respond to these allegations?
Me and Adrian don't have anything to hide. We've honestly been... We've been woke. We've been
Paul
woke
already apologized job. To my mom, so yeah. I think we're good.
Mm. Well, that was the big allegation I had about you making fun of Guatemalan mothers. So I guess if y'all are cool about that, and y'all already like apologized earlier in the episode, I forgot
you weren't here. So
I really got nothing.
And Adrian already emailed that blind disabled girl to apologize for what he did. So I think we're both clear. We both apologized, you know.
We're not keeping that.
I did not know about that. I do want to get to the
bottom. No. And Paul already apologized to that 5-year-old. Never mind. No, that's too dark.
That was me. That was it. I was doing a character. I was testing you and
Louis. You know, I don't have a horn around here. And you've been calling it a trumpet, which is confusing to me, but you famously always called it a horn back in your day.
I did?
Yeah.
I've said a lot of stuff.
But
probably
could
high.
We get a little bit of a performance from you? Anyway, I mean,
like, what song do you want me to do?
There's this thing. I don't know if y'all get this in Kazakhstan. A lot of like modern American music is hip hop, where people will do like these freestyle raps. So rapping is kind of like.
Are you asking me to do a Five Fingers of Death right now?
Oh, okay. You get sway over in Kazakhstan.
Okay.
Y'all can afford one finger.
All right.
We can afford one finger. Fair enough.
Pinky,
fair enough.
The pinky finger.
So I want to hear Louis Armstrong with your beautiful signature voice that you're bringing to this podcast.
You want me to rap in this voice?
Of course. You're Louis. Louis Armstrong do other than...
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be challenging at all because this is just the way I talk. So this isn't going to hurt my throat at all because this is the way I talk.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's what I would assume.
I do have a hard out at 12:35, so I don't know how much time you have until...
Oh, 12:35 Pacific time. Okay, cool. You got like 3 hours.
No, demon time. I'm always on demon time. I never adjust my clocks. Or bow time. I'm always on bow time or demon time. And it's 12:34 demon time right now.
All right, so we're going to have to get you to rap before you head out in 1 minute.
Yeah. Louis. What's the topic? What do you want to rap about?
Violence.
Islands?
Violence.
Oh, violence. I'll do both. Yeah. Stop the silence. Kids, we gotta stop the violence. Look at the flowers and the violets. Red roses too? Ooh. You know how we do. I got a lot of fans in my favorite island, Kazakhstan. It's not an island, and I know that. Adrian's not even listening. I'm going to throw back my fist on his face. My cash app is Louis. Hit that up right now. You won't get scammed. Hit up my Venmo account. For all of my fans.
Louis.
My voice. Sorry about that. That's album dropping next week. It's called
That's a big scoop.
Louis. It's called Louis, and Louis C.K. is the cover of the album.
It's the same as the Kenny Beats album from 2 years ago.
Exactly. I'm very aware of the cave. I've done a lot of cave episodes that have not come out because I've said some nasty things. But
he keeps trying to bring you on, but you keep fucking it up.
Every time I do it, I start mentioning a certain race, and Kenny's like, we don't do that in the cave.
Louis, can I ask you a
white guy, am I right, to tell me?
Might this be the... It seems like you're a very common podcast guest, but it feels like very rarely your episodes get released because of some of the controversial things you say.
Yeah, if this comes out, if this honestly comes out, I would be surprised. I would be surprised. I would want to have such a controversial guest. If I wake up next Friday, you'll probably release these, what, Fridays?
That's true.
We'll probably release these
next
Fridays,
Friday, yeah. And I see my name on it. I'm going to have to make some calls. And I'm not sure if y'all going to be happy with what happens, but that file is going to be digging down quick.
Y'all got, I don't know what to say. Big facts, no cap.
Well, Louis, here's the thing. I see, talking to you. I see, what's that song?
Talking to you?
I see trees of green.
Talking to you, Louis. I see trees of green. Red roses, too. And frankly, that's my big cap, man. Is you inspired a whole generation, and now you've inspired a new generation. And that new generation is the big facts generation.
I didn't even know that. That means a lot, man.
Nah, you mean a lot to me. Thank you for coming on the pod.
Paul, you're a friend.
Why did I start doing the voice? You're a true friend.
Are you making fun of my voice? Because now I'm going to take back what I just said. You are not my friend. And this podcast is not coming out now for sure.
Oh, who's that? Batman just walked in.
Rachel. All right. Well, Louis, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to do a no cap. I think my first one's probably going to be when my mother asks me about what I want from the concession stand.
Oh, wait. Just so I can get a better picture of your mother. Paul, can you can you do an impersonation of what his mother's...
she might say something like Coca Zero instead of Coke Zero, you know? That's one of the things Adrian would usually say.
What was it?
That is one of the ugliest things I've heard you say. That is insane.
Mm. And y'all are some ugly people. That's crazy. Anything y'all say, I'm like, that's the ugliest thing I've ever heard.
When my mom asked me what I want from the concession stand at movie theater, I always say, I see
trees of green. Don't get me now, because I wouldn't get paid for this podcast.
No. I love Louis Armstrong. I think he's amazing. I don't get him confused with the guy from the moon or the guy from the biking. Those are Lance and
Neil. How do you feel about those men, Louis?
Who is it? Stretch Armstrong? Is that a toy?
No, Neil.
That's the one thing I got a problem with, the Stretch Armstrong. It's just some really flexible white boy. Because
he's stretching your bitch?
Stretch Armstrong don't even got no bitches, and y'all know that. So, I don't really care about...
I honestly don't know what this is. What's a Stretch Armstrong?
It's a toy of like a white guy with long blonde hair, and you can stretch his limbs as far as you want.
As far as you want?
Pretty far, yeah. I mean, I wrapped it around your bitch, so it had to go pretty... That's good. Do I have to do a big fact? No, because that's going to cost a little bit extra scratch.
Yeah. We're not paying you. You showed up.
I am very concerned how I'll be compensated for this podcast. But I guess a big fact, no cap.
Thank you for doing both.
When people ask, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you.
Damn, that's beautiful.
That's from my song, What a Wonderful World, streaming now on Spotify.
Streaming now.
I did it.
Hot off the presses.
It just came out, just dropped.
It just dropped.
I sent it to Funk Flex. I sent it to Tim Westwood TV.
It should be on everybody's Spotify Wrapped 2024.
Other than What a Wonderful Life, any other plugs? Any shows or anything?
What a Wonderful World. What a Wonderful Life is a movie.
Shut the fuck up. Louis, tell Adrian to shut the fuck up.
Adrian, where are you at right now? Drop the Addy.
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky.
Huh? What did you say?
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky.
I'm a pull up.
Pull up, Dan. Come on, man. I was there
earlier today and I was like, y'all know Adrian? They're like, we don't know him. Your blog don't know you.
We pulled up on your blog, Adrian. They said they don't know you.
I am so offended by this accusation that my blog don't know me. My blog knows me, especially if you describe me.
Your blog is like, did he like just move in literally like just now? We just do not know who he is. I'm like, no, he's been here a while.
All right, Louis, I think you gave us a beautiful goodbye, and I don't want to ruin that moment with these little petty squabbles.
I get it.
So thank you for coming in. You know, we had this weird situation where our friend Phil was supposed to be on the podcast and he ran last moment for a family emergency.
Yeah, I hope everything's okay with that situation.
Frankly, I'm a little concerned. He said he was really drunk and he took my car and drove home. Yeah, it was really
shady.
I hope
he gets home safe.
Eh.
I hope he does.
His hair? Because he has a lot of it.
Louis,
it's a weird hope, but...
Louis, we got to get you home, man. You're sundown in a little bit.
I'm driving home tonight. I'm flying home tonight, baby.
He's taking your other car, Paul.
I'm taking your car to the airport. I just don't want to get an Uber. I'm just going to leave it there. I don't know how you're going to find it. You have like an AirTag or something for it?
No, I frankly don't.
Do you not know what an AirTag
frankly,
is?
Frankly, I don't.
I don't know what an AirTag is.
Do you really not?
No.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
It's like a little GPS tracker you can put on anything, and if it's connected to
Why are you better at doing the voice now than you were during the segment?
I don't know what voice you're referring to. I know people and do
it. Just how he talks.
You don't. Just remember that.
Okay. I'm done.
Louis,
nope. Thank you for
I'm
coming
done.
On.
I'm done.
All right.
I'm
done. Thank
See
you.
Y'all later.
We love
Appreciate
you, buddy.
It.
Bye now.
All right. Bye now.
Jesus Christ, Adrian. Did you think it was... Oh, wait. Did he actually stop recording? I was going to do a bit about how hard it was.